Good to see you this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 139, if you will. Psalm 139, we're going to read the first 10 verses there in just a moment. We will not have the PowerPoint this morning, but if you need an outline, you didn't get one, would you raise your hand? Anybody need an outline and did not get one when you came in? Right up here, I suppose. Anybody else need one? All right. I think we pretty well have everybody covered. And all right. Psalm 139, and we're talking today, we're continuing the series on listening to God, listening to God. And I hope you've learned something along the way about it and kept it in your mind. And I gave my wife a quiz coming into Sunday school this morning. She did pretty good, actually. And at least she listens to me in Sunday school, you know. But anyway, we've been talking about listening to God. It's so important to know how to sense listening to God. God does not always just speak to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And we have to be sensitive. We have to practice. We have to work at it. We have to pray about it. We have to have some quiet time. In order to do it, we have to get rid of a lot of things that would pull us away from that, hindrances to having a quiet time or a long prayer time, spending some time with God so we can hear His voice and sense His will and His leadership. I remind you that the Holy Spirit will lead us, but He never, ever, ever contradicts the Bible. That would be crazy. He never contradicts the Bible. So if you think you're being led of the Holy Spirit and it contradicts the Bible, you can just mark that off right quick. Satan is deceiving you. But I believe we can learn and we can sense, and by knowing the Bible, part of the importance of it, we can know how to discern what God is speaking to us through His Holy Spirit, through His leadership. Psalm 139, 1 through 10, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. How many of you believe God does search and know us? He really does, doesn't He? Oh, what a great God we have. We cannot comprehend how great He really is. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. He knew when you came in and sat down. He knows when you're going to get up in a little bit. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. And there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And we say we have a kindred spirit with that statement. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, Thou art Thou. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Just a reminder in these verses that God knows all about us, God is interested in us, and God wants to lead us, and God wants us to hear His voice, so that we'll follow Him and do what He tells us to do. Sometimes we try to listen to God, and you may, especially when you just first start out doing this, you might get a little frustrated in doing that. We feel maybe that God really doesn't have anything to say to us, or we just perhaps think, I just don't know how to hear God. And that might be part of the frustration to begin with, but you have to just stay with it. We know that we have a caring Heavenly Father. We just read that. A reminder of how He cares for us and He wants to communicate to us. So if we're not hearing the voice of God, where's the problem? The problem is not with God. It's on our side. We become very accustomed to some things in our lives that we shouldn't be, and then we allow some hindrances in our lives we shouldn't allow. It keeps us from hearing God. And there are a lot of factors, some things that contribute to that. We're going to talk about some of those. Number one, we don't really know God. That's elementary in a way, but really it isn't. We know about him sometimes. We know we trusted him as Savior. Many know Christ as Savior, but we really don't know his ways. We really don't know his character. And the more we understand who God is, the more we hear from him. When we understand what he's like and who God is, we hear from him. And this is why we've got to study our Bible. How do we know what God's like? How did you find out what God was like? Well, you either studied it in the Bible yourself, or you heard somebody teaching it somewhere in a Sunday school class, maybe from a young age, maybe you didn't get saved till later, but it all came out of the Word of God. What's God like? This is what God is like. And the Bible tells us that. And that's why we need to study the Bible daily. Somebody said, a lot of Christians don't know enough about God to even list an 8.5 by 11 sheet. If you said, write down everything you know about God, they couldn't even fill up an 8.5 by 11 sheet. What do you think you'd write on? How many sheets do you think you might write if somebody asked you that, put it on paper? And we have to think about God and study the Word of God and know what God is like. Secondly, not only do we need to know God, sometimes a hindrance is a poor self-image. And I'm not talking about egotism or pride, but in a relationship, why would God want to speak to me? Some of us feel that way. Why would God want to talk to me? Little old me? Why does God want to talk to me? Well, the reason is we are saved. If you are saved, and I'm sure you are, we are God's children. And God likes to communicate with his children. Fathers, this is Father's Day. Well, fathers like to communicate with their children. I always love to communicate with them and have them communicate back to me. I talked to my daughter this morning in Virginia and communicated with her, and I enjoyed what she had to say to me. And then I talked to my son yesterday. He actually remembered to wish me a happy Father's Day. And he forgot my birthday. No, he didn't forget my birthday. But anyway, we like that, don't we? And we need to realize that God wants to speak to us and wants us to speak to him. We're not bothering God when we speak to him, and we're not bothering God when we listen and wait for him to speak to us, because God enjoys doing that. You take a beggar off the street out here somewhere in Washington, D.C., and have him try to go in and talk to the President of the United States and to communicate with him, he's more than likely not going to get in there, is he? Especially in these days. But you let his son come in there, and he'll walk in the door and talk to Daddy, and they'll talk together, the President and his son. Why? Because he's his son. He's family. And we are part of the family of God. And so God likes to communicate. God enjoys leading us, guiding us, and communicating to us his will. So we need guidance every day in our lives. I promise you I do. And I want that guidance, and I pray for that guidance. And since he loves you and he loves me, we are not undesirable baggage to God. He loves us. We're his children. Get that in your mind. I'm God's child. God loves me. He is interested in what's happening to me. And then thirdly, a false sense of guilt. A false sense of guilt. There are, broadly speaking, generally speaking, there are two kinds of guilt. One is true guilt, which comes from sin. True guilt, which comes from sin. And the only way to take care of that is we have to deal with it. I mean, if you have sin in your life, then you should have guilt. And the only way to deal with that, I mean, the only way to get rid of that guilt is to deal with it. But the second is a false, a pseudo-guilt. And Satan is very good at trying to place that in our minds, a false guilt, a pseudo-guilt. And we feel sometimes that we never quite measure up and we never quite please God. All of us probably have felt that way at some point, maybe still struggle with that. I just don't measure up. I'm not perfect. And I don't always please God. Well, join the club. We don't try to sin, but we are going to sin. We're going to fail God sometimes, but that does not mean that God doesn't want to communicate with us, to us. And Satan says, look at what you've done in the past. Satan ever try to drag your past up to you? Sure he does. He'll try to make you feel as guilty as he can about something that happened in your past. Maybe when you were a child or maybe a teenager or something in your past. But this is Satan's deception because God has forgiven us. Aren't you glad he's forgiven us? And sometimes we struggle with that. Has he really forgiven me? Yes, he has. If you confessed it and forsook it and turned from your sin, God forgave you of that, and it's under the blood. And remember that. Then guilt-ridden prayers are usually self-centered prayers. Guilt-ridden prayers. So when we feel that we're under this condemnation from God, we're almost afraid to ask God to show us. We feel like he's going to be mad at us or angry with us. And what's he going to tell me? And he's probably going to chew me out. Well, God doesn't. That's not the nature of God to do that. He'll chasten you if you need it. But we are sometimes afraid of more judgment, and so we don't communicate with God. Guilt-ridden prayers or self-centered prayers. And then business or busyness. These things can be a hindrance. Our schedules are busy. I'm retired, and a lot of times people are sort of asking me, you know, do you have enough to do? Or are you getting bored? And heavens to Betsy, I don't know how I ever got the other done. You've heard retired people say that. How many of you in here are retired? All right, how many of you agree with what I'm saying? You're just about as busy as you ever were. And I'm a little disappointed about that. You know, I thought I'd get to fish a little more or do something like that. But anyway, our schedules are busy, and we're not to shirk our responsibilities. Though our schedules are busy, God doesn't want us to use that as an excuse. So if we have walked in the Spirit and are walking in the Spirit, letting, wanting, desiring, praying, letting the Holy Spirit guide us, if we're walking in the Spirit to carry our responsibilities while also communing with God is not going to be a challenge to us always. We get used to that. Not that it's common, but we know that it happens. We know that it has happened. We know it's going to happen again. We walk in the Spirit, and as we walk in the Spirit, we still commune with God, and we have our responsibilities. There's a balance there. The balanced Christian life is very important, and we cannot separate the spiritual from the secular. We try to do that sometimes, but we can't do that because it's all tied into God. Everything we do, your job, your hobby, whatever you're doing, is something that should be tied into God. We cannot separate the spiritual from the secular. Now, we can have sometimes a hectic day. How many of you ever had a hectic day? Raise your hand. How many of you had one last week? Raise your hand. That's about everybody. It seems like I'll have this theory. On a trip, you go on a long trip, 1,200 miles, there's going to be a rough time every time somewhere. It all can go good, but there's going to be that rough time. And in a week, there'll be a day that's sort of rough, or a month, or a year, or whatever. But anyway, we have hectic days. If we've walked with him, then we can be in perfect rest. Amen? Perfect rest, even though it's a hectic day. And we can still then hear him speaking and be sensitive to him. If you get all bent out of shape and all depressed and down, you're not going to hear the voice of God. But even though we have those days, we can still hear and be sensitive to him. Another area is unbelief. Unbelief. We need to believe that God speaks today. That was one of the first things we dealt with. Is God still speaking? Yes, he is. God is still speaking today. He speaks, and don't misunderstand me here, but he speaks more than just through the Scriptures. All right? Now, he certainly speaks through the Scriptures. And we need to stay in the Scriptures and listen to what he tells us through the Scriptures. But he speaks outside of the Scriptures. He speaks through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Sometimes God allows other people to speak to us, and we need to hear what they're saying. Sometimes, as we've mentioned, God speaks to us through our circumstances. We have circumstances that we didn't plan on, we didn't like, but God speaks to all people, all Christians, not just to an elite few people. You say, well, I expect him to speak to you. You're a preacher or a missionary or somebody like that or a deacon. No, friend, he speaks to you. We're not an elite group among all of the Christians. God wants to speak to you as much as he wants to speak to me. He loves you and he cares about you. So we have to believe that. And then sometimes a hindrance is God-directed anger, getting angry at God. Have you ever been angry? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever been angry with God? Most of us have at least been tempted to be angry with God because things didn't go our way or something happened we didn't understand. But in over five decades of ministry, I've met a few people, not a lot, but a few that are angry with God. I mean bitter and angry with God. Some of them quit church, dropped out of church. They got mad at God because God didn't do what they thought God should do. Maybe a child was killed or their spouse died prematurely and they were angry at God about that. Or maybe a financial collapse, a reversal. I'm thinking of a person now that had a financial collapse and he had some dreams about owning a ranch and whatever, but that didn't happen. And so he's got very angry at God. And really quit on God. But even though we have times like this, whenever Christians pray, and a lot of times the devil will try to bring those things back up to you. Something that will come up and you'll say, why did that happen, God? I don't know why you allowed that. And we all have some of those circumstances in our life. But I'm glad to tell you, God understands even our anger sometimes. God is a very patient, long-suffering, kind, gracious, merciful God, and aren't we glad? But we have to understand that our anger, when we're angry at God, it messes up our ability to hear spiritually. It obstructs our spiritual ears. And I've watched families as a pastor go through some of those times, very difficult and hard times. I have buried a lot of people, a lot of children over the years, and there have been times that I've sat in a room where daddy came out with a little baby that you could fit just like that, and the hat on the little baby was a sock, a baby sock, and twins that died, things like that, you know, and they were serving God and they were living for the Lord. And what do you tell people like that? But I've also seen people like that, families endure these times, and they have clung to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has taken them through that. And I've told you the story of the three boys that drowned that were in our bus ministry, came on our buses, and two from one family and one from a family across the street. And God used that to bring them to the Lord and all of that. But Christians who go through trials like that and don't get angry at God and just turn it over to God and trust God, later on there's a period of calm that comes in their hearts and they are glad they can still hear the voice of God, and that brings great joy into their soul because of that. Then another hindrance is harboring sin. Harboring a sin, I think it's important to point out, is different from committing a sin. And sin is sin. And if you're bound to sin, you're bound to suffer and bound to face the consequences. But harboring a sin is different from committing a sin. In other words, harboring a sin means this. We have a sin in our life. We know it's a sin. And we just keep on doing it. We don't settle it. We know it's a sin, and we just keep on doing it, keep practicing it. And God knows, others may not know, your mate may not know, nobody else in the church may know, nobody but you and God, but you are harboring a sin. And people slough that off and make fun of it, and they act like it's water off a duck's back. But my friend, if you're harboring sin, that is wrong, and it's going to really affect your relationship with God. I promise you that. It'll rob you of your joy, and it'll keep you from hearing from God. When we have sin in our lives, you remember the old Now we have frequency modulated radios, but it used to be audio modulated and AM radio. And you'd go through years ago, and I still sometimes listen to AM because that may be the only Christian station I can get where I am. And you come under those high lines, those wires, and what do you get? Static, a bunch of static. And maybe they're right in the middle of a good point. You want to hear it. And that static is there for about a half a mile or a quarter of a mile. And you say, I missed that point. I missed what he was saying. And sometimes that's the way sin is in our life. As long as we're practicing some known sin in our life, we are not going to hear the voice of God clearly. We're just not going to. And we have to deal with that. Now, if God remains silent, even though we've prayed about something, we don't hear from God, we need to look for concealed sin. If we're not hearing and we feel like, well, God's not leading me and God's not speaking to me and I'm frustrated and I'm just hitting a wall and everything that I do, there has to be a close examination. We have to examine ourselves often. Why should God keep speaking to us if we don't intend to obey? Why? So God expects us to obey. And harbored sin is something that clouds, divides our minds, and it affects our spiritual ears so that we really don't hear from God like we need to hear from God. And it can do that. I remember a man in my first church. He was so angry. I was associated with Liberty University, and back then it was a college, and Jerry Falwell was my friend. And this man was from a different perspective, and he didn't like him. And consequently, when I got to church, he didn't like me too much, and it was pretty obvious that kept coming out. And he would criticize me publicly. He had the auditorium Sunday school class, and a volunteer worker that sort of was my associate called me. I had 104 temperature, and the parsonage was next door. He said, could you come over? He said, you wouldn't believe what he's saying about you in Sunday school. And he related some of it. I said, well, I'm sick, but I'll come over. And I went up in the little balcony up there and heard some of it, and I thought, my soul, this man got so angry. And right in the middle of that, his son surrendered under my ministry for a full-time service to be a preacher. And his daughter was a concert pianist, and she would come through and play for us. And she was talking about, and he knew that anger was wrong. He knew the position of a leadership in a church, but he just would not listen. And even though we'd sit down and talk with him, he would not listen. But he let his anger build so much. And till one day, he thought I was too liberal for him. And after he got mad and left our church, he took a United Methodist church. I never figured that one out. But United Methodists are probably as liberal as anybody in the country. And he took a United Methodist church. And anyway, he just wouldn't listen to God. Finally, he had a stroke. He told his son, when you go off to study, and his son went to Bob Jones University, and got his education. He said, when you leave, he had just built him and had him build a new house out on their place. They had a lumber yard, sawmill and farm and all that kind of stuff. He said, when you leave, burn the bridge behind you because you're not coming back. He was so angry. That's what he told his son when he went off to study for the ministry. He wouldn't listen. And he had a stroke, and his daughter was telling me about how bitter and angry he was. That's a sad thing. And then a rebellious spirit. These are sort of similar, some of them a little different. But a rebellious person may want to pray, but a lot of times he doesn't want to hear what God's going to say. He wants to pray, but he doesn't want to hear it. In other words, rebellion blocks God's voice. Rebellion is not the same as reluctance. Sometimes we're reluctant at first, and we have to realize that God understands our hesitation. There have been things in my life along the way, not that I was rebellious against God, but I was like, you know, God, are you sure? And am I sure? And of what's going on here. In fact, Moses, he's a pretty good Christian, wasn't he? Pretty good godly man. And he said, God, are you sure you got the right person? I'm tongue-tied, and I'm not that kind of guy. And he was reluctant, but he wasn't rebellious. When God revealed his will to him, made it clear to him, and then he wasn't rebellious. So like Moses, we can tell God we don't like what he's saying, and we need to say that very non-offensively, but rebellion against his instructions, once he makes that clear to us, that's a whole different matter. And I've known people who, I've accumulated too many illustrations. I can't teach without giving too many illustrations, but I had a first cousin, her husband was called to preach. He went to seminary one semester. He decided he didn't want to give up his lucrative job. He didn't want to give up his gun hobby and all those kind of things. And he went back to work and was making a lot of money. Finally went into the oil business. They both had Cadillacs. They had a beautiful home and all that. And for years and years and years, seemed like everything was fine until one day they were out at the lake on Sunday morning. His daughter drowned, little girl drowned. And later on, his boy, he had two boys who were All-American football players in Lubbock, Texas, in a big high school there. And one of his boys was looking at one of his guns and shot himself with the gun. And he was going to have a full scholarship in football. And I'm not judging him. I'm telling you his testimony at the end of all that and his wife's testimony. Anyway, you can be reluctant, but you need to follow the Lord's leadership. And then rejecting God's messengers. Sometimes God speaks through unwelcome people. Sometimes God speaks to the husband through his wife, and vice versa. Sometimes God speaks to the wife through a husband. What happens sometimes is they turn each other off in that process, and in doing so, you may be turning off the voice of God. He's trying to tell you something through your mate. And it's not always a stupid thing to listen to your mate, believe me. And we need to realize sometimes God speaks through them. Sometimes God speaks through our children. I know that there have been children that would say something like this: "You love me only when I do what you want me to do. That's the only time you love me. And if I make straight A's, you love me. If I don't, you don't love me. You act like you don't love me," or on and on and on. And you can relate to what I'm trying to say. And God may be telling parents that you're not loving your children unconditionally. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean that you don't chasten them. But you love your children unconditionally. They will break your heart. They will walk on your feet. They'll do a lot of things you don't want them to do. But we've always loved our children unconditionally. And God loves us that way. And so sometimes our children can be used of God to speak to us. God may be telling us that. God speaks through objectionable circumstances. Objectionable circumstances. Paul the apostle was knocked down and blinded. That's not something everybody wants in the middle of the day. But he was sort of in a mess and helpless there for a little while. I think it was Brother Gillett or maybe been Brother Patterson was preaching and said something about the fact that Paul was in, he was probably near death. He was facing death right there at that time. He was in bad circumstances. But God can speak through those times. I've known times that God has incapacitated me physically to get me to listen to what he's trying to say to me. And I've never been down a long period of time with sickness, but what I... it seemed that God would communicate to me some things during that time. I didn't like the circumstances, but I did like the results. And I liked what God did. I remember I was reluctant to come out to seminary and Bible college, and I really got a little rebellious about it. And I was working at a service station, and my good buddy, my best buddy through high school and all, he wanted me to delay coming to Bible college and go buy a Corvette and travel and make some money. And we had a guarantee of a job on the pipeline up in Alaska and all of that. He had two brother-in-laws that were could get us on real quickly. So I thought, this sounds good. It really sounds good, until God allowed a radiator cap to blow up in my face, scald my face, And I walked out like this with my daddy holding my hands and put me in the car and took me to the hospital and then took me on home. And when he put me in bed and I had this old green salve all over my face. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to see good or not. I didn't know what. And so I called him. I said, Daddy. He came to the door. He said, yep. I said, I believe I'll go to Bible college. He said, well, I've been praying. And turned around and walked off. I thought, so you're the one who caused this, you know. God allowed it to happen, but God can do that. And then sometimes we're untrained to listen. We have to train ourselves to listen. God has a lot of tools to do that. And we're out of time, so you can look at the rest of them. And I think you'll see what God is saying. We may cover a little more of that when we come back to the next lesson. Thank you, Lord, for loving us unconditionally. And thank you that we're your children and that you do love us. You know our sitting down, our getting up. You know when we go to bed. You know when we awaken. You know all about us and you love us. And you want to speak to us. You want to lead us. You want to guide us. You want to communicate to us through your word, through circumstances, through others, in any way that you want to. And Lord, help us to recognize your voice and not miss it like Eli did a couple of times, but to realize what your voice is really like and to hear you as you speak to us and to give you that time to do it. In Christ's name.